League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Quick shot, score! The U.S. with Dempsey!
Turn it up! Fabregas, who looks for Iniesta, who's onside! Spain score!
Entonces el centro, rebote y el gol! ¡Gol de oro! ¡Gol de oro! ¡Gol de Oribe!
This is Soccer Matters. On ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. So much going on in the world of soccer. We've had Champions League here today. We've had Decision Day in Major League Soccer this past Sunday. Playoffs just around the corner there. And of course, we got the NWSL playoffs here and for the Houston Dash. And if you're listening in tonight and you don't know a lot about the Houston Dash, this is their first ever playoff appearance since the team was originated in 2014. It's a big deal. 8 years without playoffs, now in for the first time. 4 o'clock on Sunday is the playoff match. You can get tickets at Houston-.com. They're taking on the Kansas City Current, which is a very, very good team, which held down first place for a number of weeks during the regular season. One of the talented players, defender Caprice Didasco, joins me now. Caprice, how are you?
Good. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thanks for having you. You and I were talking before. I called your national championship game with UCLA a year you went undefeated. That was brought some great memories back.
Yes, it was such a good time and good memory for a college experience.
Now, Caprice, by the way, was last year's defender of the year. She was all league as well. So the Dynamo have picked up an outstanding defender here. When this came down that you were coming to the Houston, you know what? We're starting all over there because I just made a big snafu. Here we go. 5-4-3-2-1. Welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Let's remember this Sunday, Houston Dash in the playoffs. First ever appearance in the NWSL. 8 years without the playoffs. They make it now under Juan Carlos Amoros, the interim coach. 4 o'clock on Sunday. You can get tickets at Houston-.com. Let's get people down there to support the Dash against the Kansas City Current. Caprice Didasco, last year was the NWSL Defender of the Year, recent signing for the Houston Dynamo. She joins us now. Caprice, thank you very much for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
Well, the excitement of being a part of helping bring a first-ever playoff appearance here has to be something pretty special to you as a player.
Yeah, I was just traded a month ago, and I came from a team that was on the bottom of the table, and to be traded to a team that was in the running for playoff was really special. And I just wanted to come to this team and try to contribute any way possible I could.
It is the professional life. Sometimes you do get traded as the evolution of the NWSL continues. How did you hear about it, and what were your initial thoughts?
Yeah, I've been around the league for 8 years, so trades always happen. And my agent reached out to me about this opportunity. And my first thought was, it's crazy because we just landed in Houston because my New Jersey team was going to play Houston on Wednesday, and it was Monday. And I'm like, all right, I need a couple hours to just gather my thoughts and I'll get back to you. And the whole next day, my agent and Carlos, the GM then, and then Juan, we talked a bunch. And at the end of the day, I knew this was going to be a right fit for me and my career where I'm at. And it was ultimately my decision. And after speaking to them, they really made my decision more confident, gave me more confidence in it. And I'm so grateful for the opportunity and happy to be here.
Caprice Didasco, by the way, was a four-year starter at UCLA. In her junior year, they won the national championship. They were undefeated. They beat Florida State. I remember calling that game, and I remember, you know, everybody was telling me, and as the run-up to the game occurred, hey, you got to watch the outside backs of UCLA, and one of them was Caprice Didasco. She has appeared over 100 times in the NWSL. So how about just taking us into the mood of this playoff game against Current, how you guys are feeling after qualifying for the playoffs, and just where the mood is right now a couple days out?
Yeah, it's always so exciting to qualify for a playoff game, and especially this is the first time in Houston Dash history, so that's always exciting, but we need to change our focus to the game coming up, and we know the job is not done, and we have still three more games, but we're going to take it game by game, and I think we're just using this week to prepare and give us all the confidence we can going into the game, so when Sunday comes, we can just have fun out there.
Caprice Didasco is joining us. She's a defender for the Houston Dash, taking on the Kansas City Current in the NWSL playoffs. By the way, by qualifying for the playoffs, you're two games away from the final, which, you know, you got a great pathway here. And that's pretty obvious when you follow the NWSL. You get in the playoffs, you're two wins away from getting in to the finals. You mentioned contributing and being a part of this team. I want to talk to you about the back four and Chapman, Prysock, and Naughton in front of Campbell and yourself. Just take me into that group as a unit and sort of the pride that you have as defenders.
Yeah, as defenders, you don't get too much glory, but they only remember you when you let in a goal. So we just try to do our job and stay solid back there and hopefully give us a better chance of winning, because if we do our job, we just got to score one goal and we win. So I think just coming in this late in the season, I just wanted to buy into what they've been doing so well, and being a solid back four and Jane in the back just really gives us confidence in front of us. And they really keep that tight line and really organize everyone in front of them. So I just want to just join them seamlessly and just kind of buy into what they've been doing so great. And they just give so much confidence to the team, and they're very vocal. And I just wanted to be a part of that and help them in any way possible. And I have a little bit more experience than some of them back there, so I can kind of bring in some of my experience and try to contribute in that way as well.
Yeah. So let's talk about that experience, because, you know, much like Major League Soccer, I had this discussion earlier in the show. This is basically single elimination. This is finality. Everything that has been done prior does not mean anything right now. One bad call, one mistake, everything gets magnified. You've been in these situations before. What's most important, both as individuals and collectively as a team, going into this playoff setup?
Yeah, I mean, there's so much that goes into just this one game. Just individually, just taking care of yourself, like off the field and on the field, just being prepared and giving you the best situation possible that you can be in for the game, whether that's taking care of your body or just being the right mindset. And then just being bought into the team, just having that right, being bought into the team system and the way our game plan. And at the end of the day, it comes down to small details. My second year in the league, we lost in the finals because we got scored in the last like 5 seconds of the game, actually in Houston. And it just comes down to seconds and one play. So we just really got to be locked in for all 90 plus minutes, and can't just, if you do your job and win your 90 minute battles, then we'll be in a good situation.
How do you manage the pressure? Because, you know, I've seen over all my years commentating games and playing on pro teams, I've seen coaches change when you get into the playoffs and maybe become a little bit more cautious to your detriment. Or I've seen players over-adrenalized that, you know, positionally are doing things that you didn't see them doing during the season. You know, how do you manage all that? Because this is, you know, this is do or die here, basically. It's finality.
Yeah, I mean, as an athlete, especially a professional, you live for these moments of playoff games and winning a championship. And I think that we have to like gladly welcome the pressure, but also we can't get too much in our heads. I mean, we've been playing this sport, and this is just a game at the end of the day, but a really big game. So I think this week we can just keep being prepared and use this week for film sessions, individual, getting the details right. So when it does come game time, that we're prepared and we can just have fun out there, because on Sunday should be the easiest and best time of the week.
Caprice Didasco joining us. Is it important for the experienced players like you that have had more games and have been in playoffs, like, you know, Sophie Schmidt and Nichelle Prince? Is it important for you to help kind of guide and maybe calm some of the younger players?
Yeah, I think everyone's going to have their times, and it comes in ebbs and flows. And I think when it comes hard times, I think that the more experienced and veterans, they can lean on us sometimes. But at sometimes we're going to need the younger players. So I think that we just kind of like lean on each other when we do have those hard times. And like a set pieces, we need to be locked in, and just like little plays that we know that are really huge in games, especially when we get scored on. We score like the big five after we get scored on or scored. We need to like be really locked in, because that's when teams are very open to like conceding goals. So it's just a big thing that we just have to use lean on each other for that.
Caprice, how about a word on the Kansas City Current and some thoughts about the way they play and things from your perspective?
Yeah, I think they're a great team. They're a very transitional team, and they're a new, young team. So they just want to keep running and hit balls in behind. And they have, I think they're I think they're in first place with transitional goals. So I think we just need to make sure that we deny the switch, deny big balls, and we just have to score goals and just have to lock them out on defense.
Your coach, Juan Carlos Amoros, I've been very impressed with him in his short tenure here. He's like you. He's come in. You're a big part, both of you, in turning this thing around. He's infectious, knows the game. He's young. I think he's only 38 years of age. What are some of your thoughts on playing under him?
Yeah, I really enjoyed it playing under him. He has a lot of energy. He loves the game, and he loves just teaching, and he just loves even learning from us as well. And he's definitely a player's coach, so he really wants to know how we feel as a team and make sure that we're working together. And I love that. And he loves just playing good technical possession oriented soccer, and that's just definitely my style of play, and I love that. So I'm just a student of the game, always wanting to learn. So he always has these little details that can help your game. And at the end of the day, I think that he's doing a great job with this team and making everyone buy into his style of play and just his plan. And yeah, I think he's preparing us well for this opportunity.
You guys go with confidence, winning your last game of the year at the Washington Spirit. It's the Houston Dash NWSL playoff, first ever in club history. Sunday at 4 o'clock, you get your tickets at houstondash.com. They're very affordable. Get down there. It is playoff finality, no question about it. Caprice, thank you so much for coming on the show. We wish you the best of luck on Sunday.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right, that's Caprice Didasco, tremendous defender. Keep an eye on her on Sunday against the Kansas City Current. Quick word before we go to break here for Advantage BMW in Midtown. It's where you find luxury. Advantage BMW in Midtown, you're going to experience premier service. It's tailored to you. The service center is dedicated to putting your time first. So go down there, ask for Justin. They'll help you get in a perfect new, certified pre-owned or pre-owned vehicle. Discover something special. It's Advantage BMW in Midtown, longtime sponsors of Soccer Matters. All right, we'll take a break. We got more to come.
Listening to ESPN 97.5. You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5 as we continue on here tonight. Again, LamontBrands.com. If you go to LamontBrands.com, all you got to do is click on Soccer Matters. That's where you can get the T-shirt. The T-shirt, believe it or not, not only does it say Soccer Matters, and it's a good statement from you on that standpoint as a soccer fan, but all the proceeds go to the 501c charity Snowdrop Foundation for Pediatric Cancer. We want to move a lot of these. The Lamont Brands are picking up the cost of the T-shirts. They're really nice, fine cotton. They're good for Houston. Wear it proudly, and remember that you're donating to a 501c charity, the Snowdrop Foundation for Pediatric Cancer Awareness, Fundraising, and Scholarships. So it's a big part of this show, and we appreciate the many people that have bought them from around the country, too. A lot of people in New Jersey have picked some up, so we thank everybody for that. All right, we bring on the interim manager of the Houston Dynamo, Kenny Bundy. Kenny, thank you very much for coming on.
Yeah, absolutely, Glenn. Thank you for having me.
So I was thinking about you after the game, and I got home, and I'm like, man, what a ride for you over these five games. You're doing such good work with Dynamo 2. You're brought up to the first team for these five games. I mean, this in some ways might have gone like a blink in the eye, right?
Yeah. Yeah, what a year. I mean, I think if you look back, this time last year, I was working with a team that didn't have a name, working with guys that we were preparing for a league that we didn't know what was going to look like. We didn't know what teams would be in. And then obviously to end the season in the way that it did. Yeah, it's been a whirlwind.
So let's start, and we're going to get to Dynamo 2 here, and I want to ask you about your future and what are your wants and desires. I mean, I know you do want to be an MLS coach. You made that very clear. But let's first talk about the LA Galaxy game there, you know, because I thought it was an amazing comparison and contrast from earlier in the year when Paulo was the coach, basically took him apart on the counterattack out there in Los Angeles. These guys had Martin Caceres. They had Brugman, two hardened Uruguayans. And they add Ricky Pooch, who was a question mark, to be fair to them at the time, based on his seriousness about the game and was he going to revive his career from Barcelona?
Yeah.
But, you know, when you look at that in that game, it just struck me the difference that those guys made in that team, the difference in what they've done for Chicharito, 11 goals in 12 games now. So, you know, it really was a glaring example of players, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's... I mean, there's so many things that I've been evaluating since that game ended. And I think, you know, you look at the players. Yes, that's a fantastic group and the way that they want to play. And then when you allow them the momentum that we allowed them, they continually, the more possession they had, the more mistakes we made, the more that we didn't really catch them in opportunities that maybe the first game of the first game when we played them and won 3-0, we punished them on some of those mistakes and we created those opportunities in the first half, but we just conceded possession. And then they felt a little bit more comfortable. Even when we scored, I think we caught that goal in the run of play. And I think, you know, again, trying to evaluate the week, you know, there's things where you come off of a Nashville result. It's the last game of the season. Everyone knows it's the last game of the season. You know, there's things that I probably would do different, but at the same time, you don't, you know, again, the body of work that I have with this group of players, there's a certain tone that I can have. And if you have a preseason and you have a 35 game season, then you can build different tones and different expectations throughout these moments. It's difficult when you have five, and especially the five that we've had, where I think we've been very successful. I thought the intention going into it, I thought the focus going into it was really great. But that's the first time in the five games that I think we got punched in the face. And it was difficult for us. It's disappointing.
Kenny Bundy joining us, the interim manager of the Houston Dynamo. You know, looking back at that game, you know, I know everybody goes to Ricky Pooch because he got a lot of the ball. He orchestrated things. But those two Uruguayans, I mean, just from the standpoint of when you look at stability, Caceres, experience, Brugman, experience, you know, the effect they had on others very quietly to me was just something that really stood out from an LA team that was a mess like the last time we saw them, right? And it's just amazing what reverberated from them and how they affected the others around them to me.
Yeah, it's amazing what certain guys do to build confidence in other players. No matter how great we think a guy can be, a lot of times their performance is dictated based on what the guys around them are doing and what confidence they give them. And I think it went one direction for them and it went the opposite direction for us, where maybe some of the performances weren't what they had been in the last 3 weeks, but it affects the players around. And I think those guys, yeah, the confidence built for them in the game and it just continued to build, even in some of the mistakes that they made. That you could just see that there was a calmness to what they wanted to do, especially when they got the second goal. So,
Kenny Bundy joining us. All right. How did you address the team at the end of the year? Did you have that moment? Was that in the locker room? Was that at the stadium or at the training facility? Maybe you can take us into that a little bit without, you know, revealing things that maybe you don't want to reveal.
Yeah, no. I mean, I'll be very transparent with this. Very disappointed for the game, especially with the crowd that we had and the support that we were given and going up a goal. But I had to make sure that my message was very clear. And I wanted the guys to stay out. I wanted them to sign autographs. I think that is something that is really important. So we were a bit delayed in our post-game message, but I honestly, and I'll tell you exactly what I said, I just said thank you. I said thank you to the staff. I said thank you to the players, because it's not easy for them. And I know a lot of what's been talked about in the last five games has been the coach. Who's going to be the coach? What are we going to do as a coach? What, you know, how do I feel about that? All these different things. But I think a lot of credit has to go to the players and what they've tried to do in the last five games, because it's not easy on them as well. It's a real adjustment. And I think I wanted to thank the staff. I wanted to thank the players. And literally, I just walked in. I said, thank you very much for the last 5 weeks. You have no idea what it's meant to me. You have no idea what it's meant to the staff. And you've done what we've asked you to do. I shook their hand, and that was that.
Kenny Bundy joining us, interim Dynamo coach. You know, that it is tough. And I think sometimes down here, people forget it's professional soccer. People are going to lose jobs. There's a lot at stake here. And, you know, after five games with you, we go back to that same question. I would say it's a positive that there's been so much talk around a coaching change and what's going to happen with the roster. And I know it does put pressure on people, but it is a pressure environment. Wouldn't you say the talk about a coach and does Kenny get the job or not? And, you know, people playing GM. I mean, this is healthy for the game. Isn't it healthy for the growth of the Dynamo in the future?
Yeah, absolutely. And for me, I'm not criticizing that. Like, again, that's something that needs to be done. Healthy criticism is what you need, because I think the one thing that is important to me is we evaluate ourselves first. I evaluate myself first. I evaluate the staff second. And then we get back down into the players. I think that's the only way that a real competitive club can do it, because it starts at the top and it moves down. So I think it's been great. And I think that everybody, what it shows is everybody's expectations are higher than they should. They are right now. The expectations are higher than where the team is. And that's the way it should be. I can guarantee that that's the way this office is on a daily basis, is how do we get to where we expect to be? And I think it's great. I think there's so much passion for this club, not only in the office, but in the community. It's only right that people expect that we be playing in the postseason, that we be playing for things. So yeah, I think it's been great.
Kenny, as Pat Onstad, Asher Mendelson, have you had a conversation with them yet about what your future is and what direction you may go in?
No, right now there's other things that are priority. For me, you know, I'm under contract with Dynamo 2. Obviously, I don't think that has been officially released. But yeah, you know, so I'm here. I'm working towards, you know, making sure that we've got the super draft coming up. We've got 3 more weeks of training. You know, we've got things where, you know, the guys are going to be in. So it's important that we continue to focus on growing the group. So, you know, again, I'm taking it day by day, looking at who we have in. We've still got guys, you know, obviously the first team guys have a week. We've got Dynamo 2 guys in training. So just out at the under 17 training, watching them, the under 20 training, just making sure that we're still moving forward as a club. That conversation will happen when it happens. But again, just trying to make sure the day-to-day stuff is done here.
So just to be clear, Dynamo 2 and the first team are going to continue to train, or is there a break in between?
Yeah, so obviously the first team, they have to have a week break postseason. Dynamo 2, not the same rules and regulations. So they are on a break, but those players are allowed to come in and they can do extra work. And I think it's great to see those guys not taking the week, some of them. They're in and they're training and they're doing rehab and they're doing gym work. But yeah, we will continue to train. Up until the date that we have to cut off.
So another great experience in your coaching career, more great experience banked for you. What are your desires?
Yeah, I think, look, I've said this throughout the last 5 weeks that I would take some time to reevaluate when it's over. You know, and it's not evaluation period yet, because we do have to start planning on what we're going to do this last 3 weeks. To me, I think the one thing, and I speak as a staff because there was a lot of people that were put in new positions. You know, experience is one thing, but also the opportunity to work with the players that are in the MLS. And not that I haven't done that before. You know, I helped Davey as an interim assistant. And then obviously I was really influential. I kind of that connection piece with Tab. The big thing for me was now you're leading the group and you are trying to put a stamp on a team and you're trying to get the best out of players. And I thought that was really, really encouraging, especially when the LA game ends, and to get the feedback from the players of what the experience has been like for them over the last five games. You leave with a really positive note. Yes, we would have wanted to win all five games, but realistically, I think we probably hit where we had hit all season, which is 2-2-1. So I think it's been a great experience for me. And obviously I'm very motivated to continue to grow that way.
Kenny, we thank you for being so open, both on this show and the TV broadcasts. Wonderful job. Congratulations to you. Best of luck into wherever the future takes you. I don't think it's going to take you away from the Houston Dynamo. The Dynamo have an asset in you. Thank you very much for coming on, as always.
Yeah, thank you again. Everything you guys have done has been great.
All right, that's Kenny Bundy, the interim coach. We appreciate Kenny coming on here tonight, giving us a little bit of closure and what's next for the Houston Dynamo. We know there's all kinds of things, expansion drafts, player contracts denied or kept, all kinds of things will go on with the Dynamo in the future. We'll take a break here. Kobos. Down in Edo, right by the stadium, shadows of PNC Stadium. That's where we had our post-game party with our TV crew there. It was a wonderful get-together. It was our final regional broadcast. Raul brought out all kinds of great food, the smoked quesadillas. We had beer, cocktails. Great spot. Get down there. World Cup watching. It's a good place. I know it's going to be packed with Astros fans with them in the playoffs. But Kobos is going to be a soccer place as well, and we kicked it off. And I want to thank the guys from the Surge for showing up there when Eddie and I got there. Meant a lot to all of us, so we appreciate it. That's Kobos. That's Raul Jacobo. Kobos in Edo, in the shadows of PNC Stadium. Great food, great drink, 14 monitors, crystal clear. We'll take a break. We have more to come.
This is ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Fun sports.
Jan Christensen from Danish Inspirations, modern contemporary furniture since 1982. Here with the Danish Dynamite segment at Soccer Matters. Yes, I am live from Copenhagen, Denmark, where I just watched FC Copenhagen play Manchester City, and a 0-0 tie was the result. After an exciting first half with a sold-out Parken Stadium, 36,000 people, about 3,000 Manchester City fans, and 2,000 Norwegian fans coming down to watch Erling Haaland, but they left disappointed as he didn't come into the game. But exciting first half. Man City had a beautiful goal by Rodrigo, cancelled by VAR because of a handball by Mahrez in the play leading up to the goal. And then Manchester City got a penalty kick, and Mahrez missed it with a brilliant save from the Copenhagen goalie Cabara that saved it brilliantly on the right side, and shocked Mahrez because he had a really good shot, but he went the right side and he saved it, Cabara. So beautiful save and great excitement as this happened. And about 10 minutes later, Sergio Gomez got a red card as the last man for pulling Haraldsson, who had a straight run towards the goal, and he pulled his arm and got the red card after a VAR review. The referee didn't see it originally. So an exciting first half and a great result from Copenhagen. And in the second half, we were actually hoping that Copenhagen could get that one goal and secure a sensational win. But the one big chance was missed, and Manchester City rode it out with a little conservative game. It seemed like they didn't really play to win it. They just played for the 1 point, which was okay for them because they're still going to win the group. But Exciting night in Copenhagen, except for the 2,000 Norwegian fans who didn't see their hero Erling Haaland come into the field this time. So that was a little disappointing. So at Danish Inspirations, we still got a great Stressless promotion going on, where you can buy a Stressless sofa and save up to $1,500, but see the salesperson in the store for details. And we have a lot of great floor samples at savings up to 50%. So come on into Danish Inspirations at 2775 Fondren near Westheimer. We are red, we are white, we are Danish Dynamite. DanishInspirations.com.
You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Final segment of the night tonight here on Soccer Matters. Just want to remind you about our law firm, John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. They are the presenting sponsors of this show. John and his firm, they're personal injury attorneys. If you get in a car accident, boat, motorcycle, maybe you drive an 18-wheeler, you might work in a refinery. You need the Daspit Law Firm to handle your case. They'll work for you 24/7 nights and weekends. You give them a call, 713-322-HURT. By the way, John is a big soccer fan, big Chelsea fan, Dynamo fan. When he's in Austin at his Austin office, he goes to Austin FC games. So he's in and around the sport. That's another great reason to support the best personal injury attorney firm. It is the Daspit Law Firm. All right, this was a segment we wanted to do last night. We couldn't track the man down. He was traveling across country, but we got him now. We are going to talk about the MLS playoffs, Real Salt Lake in general. You know him from commentary on all the big networks. He's also a host at Sirius. He is Brian Dunseth, former Major League Soccer defender. Brian, thank you for coming on tonight.
Hey, I appreciate the time. By the way, shout out to you and Eddie for the fantastic work you guys did at the Houston Dynamo over all these years. For all of us. Just want a tip of the cap, man. You guys do a fantastic job.
Well, you know, we need to do that right back to you and all the great guys who have been telling the stories locally. There's no question about that. So thank you also. All right. So let's talk about Real Salt Lake. It's been an up and down season, injuries, ownership issues in the last couple of years. There's nobody closer to it than you. Yet, you know, on the Austin show last night, I said, hey, Austin FC fans, better be careful here. This is a very dangerous animal in a single elimination game.
Yeah. You know, you go back to the first game of the season there at America First Field, was Rio Tinto Stadium then. And if it wasn't for a prayer red card in the start of the second half, maybe the result looks different. But I think Josh Wolf and Austin got a good look at what Real Salt Lake was capable of doing. Then fast forward, about a month and a half ago, Real Salt Lake goes down to Austin, and Austin in the midst of losing or not finding a win in the previous three matches. Real Salt Lake played well away from home. And it wasn't until Johan Kappelhoff had a complete stinker over the 90 minutes and Gite comes off the bench and scores a hat trick. Incredible, incredible finish to the game and well-deserved 3 points. But again, what Josh and his staff will do, will look at the dangerous moments, right? The dangerous moments for Real Salt Lake. So, Krylock, who's really been the heart and soul of this club over the last couple of years, has been out virtually all year long. Bobby Wood, who came back really fit in preseason, scored a couple goals, end up doing his groin, his adductor, and he's been out for the better part of the last 6 months. No Albert Rusnak, he left in the offseason to go sign with the Seattle Sounders. And then Jefferson Savarino comes back from an incredible couple of years down in Brazil. So all of these kind of moments have really changed what this team looks like. And, you know, we talk about goals change games. That's been one of the problems for Real Salt Lake over the last 4 months or 3.5 months, is Sergio Cordova, who's up top, the Venezuelan international, or sometimes Venezuelan international, who came over on loan from Augsburg. For the very first time, he's been the guy that has to score the goals, to shoulder the goal-scoring load. And he's never done that in his career. He's always been a complimentary piece. He's always been an off-the-shoulder guy. He's been a link-up guy. But now he's playing the point nine role where Demir Krylock isn't there. Bobby Wood isn't there. So those have been issues. The team itself, everyone's asked me, how do you explain Real Salt Lake? You know, they are a mirror image of Pablo. And I mean that in the best way. For anyone who knew Pablo Mastroianni, for all of those MLS After Darkers that remember him as a player, It was always about tenacity. It was about guts. It was about soul. It was about, you know, operating in that gray area of figuring out how you can manipulate the game, manipulate the opponent, but also, you know, how can you get results? How can you win games? How can you close games out? And I think one of the things that they've lost over these last couple of months was ultimately the ability to find the second goal, you know, to kill the confidence of the opponent, to find that third goal. And what's crazy is they end up doing it against Portland in the final game of the season, where they're in a must-win situation, where all of a sudden the pressure's on and this team shows up. So if you're Austin, you're confident and you're comfortable, but I would suggest just looking at last season's run. Real Salt Lake gets in the final few minutes of the game at Sporting Kansas City, a bicycle kick and a redirection from Justin Merrim to Demir Krylock gets them into the playoffs. They go up to Seattle. They win on penalties. They go back to Kansas City. They end up winning 2-1. Then they go to Portland in the Western Conference Final, have a couple opportunities, but ultimately fall to Giovanni Savarese's side. So if you're Austin, you like the draw because technically they are the last team to qualify, or one of the last teams to qualify for the Western Conference playoffs. But there's a, I always rub my fingers together. Trey Fitzgerald calls it the X dog factor because everyone wants to talk about statistics. There's a dog factor in here, you know, where they're up for the challenge.
Yeah. The X dog factor. Tell Trey, I like that one. I was laughing about that. Yeah. All right. So they come in beating Portland 3-1 at home. Savarino, Rubio, Rubin, who hadn't scored, it seemed like for ages. And then Brian Hidalgo. Okay. So I was at that same game that you were at. Where is the euphoria now? You know, you just think about this, and I know you've experienced this, but to get in on the very last day, there's this euphoria. There's this, you know, we got nothing to lose attitude. And where have you seen that around the team? I mean, what does it seem like to you?
Yeah, I think you nailed it on the top of the head. That's it. I think that's what makes them dangerous, right? I mean, when you compare and contrast them to other teams, you know, their designated players are out. Demir and Bobby are out. They've got Jefferson Savarino. This isn't a team that's loaded with three DPs and three target allocation money players and three U22 players. They're a team that is just a gritty bunch. So I don't think they have anything to lose. And this is what we all play for, right? It's pass or fail. It's very simple. Pass or fail. There's so much leniency with making the playoffs in Major League Soccer. So if you fail and you missed out on the playoffs, head should roll. If you make the playoffs, well, then all of a sudden, hey, man, why not us? Why not us? So, listen, the Eastern Conference, you know it's Philly and Montreal are the favorites. The Western Conference, you know that it's LAFC and you know it's Austin. Those are the favorites. Everybody else tries to play spoiler. And this is kind of the comfortable setting. You want a home game in the playoffs. That's exactly what Austin FC has. It's an incredible stadium, incredible environment, incredible fan base. And Josh is going to have this team humming. But if Pablo and Real Salt Lake can figure out a way to navigate that first 15 minutes and deal with the pressure and deal with the onslaught, deal with the amount of numbers being thrown forward, if they start digging in, and Pablo always talks about this, we got to earn the right to play. Well, what does that mean? Earning the right to play is you got to get stuck in, right? You got to get tough tackling. You got to do something to upset the home side's rhythm. And then you've got to be able to sustain some type of possession, start getting numbers forward. And for me, it's going to be the battle in the midfield. So for Pablo, he's got Jasper Lofelsen. He's got Brian Ojeda, who's come on loan from Nottingham Forest, the Paraguayan international. And he's got Paulo Ruiz. He's got to pick what that three or those two players out of the three looks like. And then ultimately how they battle Pereira and how they battle Alexander Ring. And then I think the bigger question is, do you play three in the back, which he did at LA? Now, a lot of that depends on Aaron Herrera coming back from injury. He missed the Portland game with a bit of a calf issue. And if you play three in the back, I think you play Silva, Glad, Herrera, Brody, and Oviedo with the width, providing depth.
And that's what they did the last time at Austin. And they had a good night of possession up until Gite's arrival into the game. I was at that game. I'm telling you, I said, man, Salt Lake is playing well here in Austin. They've taken the crowd out of it. They've got more of the ball, to your point about possession. I mean, do you try to mirror a lot of what happened prior?
I think you absolutely do. And I think the good news for Real Salt Lake fans is Kapelhoff won't be available, that they'll go with Justin Glad, because Justin Glad was suspended for that game. And he makes such a mess. I know people don't really rate Justin Glad on the international level, but I would start to mimic his career to a really solid, you know, MLS center back, like a Nat Borchers type of center back. And I think that's what he is ultimately going to become. So yeah, I think you do that. And for those that watched Jasper Lofelsen, this kid's a great story. Kid came out of Germany, a little bit on the smaller slider side at the time. It was basically all of his professional dreams dashed because they deemed him not good enough. He ends up going to Pitt in the ACC, gets his degree. It was named ACC Defender of the Year. And now he's playing as a hybrid of like an 8 or a 10. And he's got this industrious kind of this push, this rhythm, this covering this ground that very few central midfielders have. So there's a lot of good things that I think Real Salt Lake can do to make it difficult. But again, make no mistake, Austin is absolutely the favorites in this game.
Sebastian Driussi, obviously, you know, I hear everybody toss this word around 10 because that's, you know, a number 10 here in Houston. That's a big issue because they're looking for more attacking players to complement some of the bigger pieces they just got. But, you know, when I look at him, and I honestly have enjoyed, you know, because I have the Austin show, I watch every single game closely.
Yeah.
Just enjoyed watching this guy play the game because he does such a variety of things, whether he's playmaking in the final third, whether he's turning into a center forward, whether he's back defending in his own third, just the way he makes other people perform better and enhances others. I want to get your thoughts on him because I think he's just such a special player.
He really is. And I think what's really set him apart outside of Hani Mukhtar, because I think Hani Mukhtar is the league MVP, but I think Driussi at the All-Star game was the hands-on favorite to be the league MVP. I think he's been fantastic. First off, a couple of things. I want to give credit to Alexander Ring, to Diego Fagundes, to Ethan Finlay, to Gite. I just think those guys have done such a phenomenal job.
Danny Pereira is another one I'd mention.
Danny Pereira is fantastic.
His growth in year two is off the charts to me.
Yeah, I just think all these guys have made it so much easier for Driussi to be the focal point, but not be the entire focal point for what Austin does. Because at times he's so important in the buildup and the run of play. But I think because there's so many other really good players that they've taken the focus off. Okay, let's just take Driussi out of the game. Let's minimize his touches. Oh crap! Oh, there goes Fagundes down the left hand side. Oh man, when the ball comes out wide, this is what we got. You know, so there's so many good players around him that he now has less pressure. He has now.
But let me just stop you there because you're making a great point. So as I watched the LA Galaxy and the Dynamo in our final game here in Houston, the Galaxy took apart the Houston Dynamo. They took them apart, yeah, limb by limb. Earlier in the year when we watched the Galaxy, there was people wanting to fire people. They were an absolute mess. They were atrocious. Yep. And the Dynamo defeated them with Nagamura as the head coach, 3-0. And then you just look at three more excellent players added to that team. And then all of a sudden, it's a totally different thing. And I think what you're really pointing out is, you know, we see these teams that are trying to survive with one or two guys that can change a game for you. And you're expecting things maybe out of some that they can't give, who would be enhanced if some better players were there. But to me, it's just the overall talent and what they're getting out of people. I mean, even their left back, John Gallagher, who couldn't score goals last year, was a striker in college at Notre Dame. He's turned into a very serviceable left back now. I mean, these things don't happen by accident, or maybe they do.
Well, I think it comes down to the amount of work that the club is doing in the off season, and more importantly, maybe what the club is doing during the, you know, summer transfer windows. And I think that's what, you know, to your point, when you're capable of bringing in a Ricky Pooch, right? You're capable of bringing in a Martin Caceres. You're capable of bringing in a Brugman. That makes it easier for Costa. That makes it easier for everybody else around him. So I absolutely, absolutely agree. And listen, for Austin, it was stupid of me not to bring up Maxi Arruti. I mean, Maxi Arruti is a huge point as well of what this group is doing and, yes, and alleviating the pressure of Driussi. So link up play capability, finishing second runs, first runs, 1-2 combinations, the simplicity of breaking people down, feeling comfortable in possession while multiple players are closing you down to still create a shot for yourself. Those are all things that Drewsi's capable of doing. And navigating this second year, man, give credit to Claudio and Josh and his staff. They've done a very, very good job.
No question. And there were people in Austin calling for Josh Wolf's head last year. And I was like, nah, I see principles here that can
be built on, right?
There were things that I saw. Now, in the case of other teams, there weren't things I saw, right? Like, you know, this is what we do on the outside. It's easy out here. But I was like, no, you guys have got it wrong. If you're calling for his head, you aren't seeing the way they are able to enter the final third of opponents' teams, the value they place on the ball, all these things that you see getting ingrained with another year of simmering and addition of players can turn it in a big way, and they have. All right, so what's the biggest, as I let you go, last one, what's some of the big keys for RSL going into this, Dunny?
Again, I'll go back to, I'll start with earning the right to play. You got to weather the storm because I think you're always up for it, but the home crowd, especially the environment that Austin has at Q2 Stadium is extraordinary. And they will be up for it. They will be excited. It will be their first home playoff game as well. So all of these are factors. If you can weather that storm, try to keep the game in front of you. Try to minimize touches. You and I were both defenders. Force the ball back where it came from is just as good sometimes as trying to win the ball. And then trying to figure out the simplicity of possession. You know, give yourself a little bit of width. The running off the ball is sometimes even more important than, you know, the quality of the passing. Because you have to, for Real Salt Lake to be successful, I think their front four, front five, however, when they get numbers forward, right side, left side, they've got to figure out a way to start dragging the outside backs and the center backs around. Start making Pereira and Ring think about when they're back pressing or when they're forward pressing, when they have to sit in the hole, when they have to start pressing. All of those things are going to be vital for any type of success for Real Salt Lake. And here, I'll just, this is the easiest one, the biggest broad stroke of all. Real Salt Lake very easily could have scored 7 goals against the Portland Timbers. When you go back and watch that game, the quality of the chances for a guy like Sergio Cordova, there's a reason why he's not the guy. He's the guy, but he's not the guy. Because he could have had 3 goals by himself that were clear opportunities. So Jefferson Savarino is a special player. Chang's service on the right becomes extremely dangerous. But ultimately, the substitution pattern is something that Pablo has relied on, whether it's Jasper or Paulo Ruiz or it's Justin Merrim or it's Bodie Hidalgo. And to your point, when you brought up Rubio Rubin and Hidalgo, man, listen, Pablo, there was no reason for Pablo to start Rubio Rubin in the final game of the season. Rubio Rubin hadn't scored a goal in 365 plus days. He gets a start in the last game of the season and gets a goal. Bodie Hidalgo has been maybe 7, 8, 9 games coming off the bench, has been bright, but to be the first player off the bench and to get his goal, his first goal of his career, put the game to bed, all of these things are kind of mentality things, not necessarily talent things. So this will be risk reward for Pablo. He'll have a couple of big calls to make, and I'll be intrigued to see which team he starts with. And ultimately, the tactical nuance, the chess match between the two managers in that second half.
And when you brought Cordova's name up, I just thought back to the game in Austin. He had some real chances in that game in the first half that could have staked RSL out to a lead. Duddy, as always, thank you very much. We appreciate you coming on. This is going to be a good insight for not only people around the country, but also Austin FC fans and RSL fans. Thank you for joining us tonight.
Yeah, I appreciate you, brother.
All right, the one and only Brian Dunseth. You've seen him on all the major networks. He'll be calling a playoff game. He will be calling the Montreal-Orlando City match. So great stuff there from Brian. That does it tonight for us here. Quick reminder here, John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm being our presenting sponsors on Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. John and his firm, personal injury attorneys. You contact them, 713-32-HURT. They're bilingual, 713-322-HURT, DaspitLaw.com. For producer Andrew Carlson, the greatest Arsenal fan on the planet. I'm Glenn Davis. Remember, Twitter and Instagram, it's at Glenn Davis Soc or at Soccer Matters GD. The likes, all that stuff helps. And again, a heartfelt thank you to everybody who made mention on social media or came up to me and Eddie Robinson just commenting on our last game against the LA Galaxy on TV. Thank you very much for that. Thank you for Kobos for throwing a post TV production party. And that does it. Until next Tuesday night, remember, soccer matters.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.